Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is success or failure. Each of my guests will point out the thin line between success and failure in their particular area of interest. My first guest is considered one of the top 100 women in the computer industry by Newsweek magazine. She examined the combination of luck and smarts that you need to succeed in today's changing tech world based on her experiences with hundreds of successful and failed companies in the software market over the last three decades. We'll discuss her findings from her book, Lucky or Smart. The Washington Post and the New York Times named my second guest the Dean of Gun Lobbyists. He is the Public Affairs Director for the Citizens Committee for the Rights to Keep and Bear Arms. We'll discuss California Assembly Bill 144 that prohibits openly carrying firearms and other Second Amendment issues with him. My third guest is an economist and a writer with special interest in climate and energy issues and local economic development. He's the founder of FESTA, which is short for the Foundation of Economic and Sustainability, which is an Irish-based economic social environment think tank. We'll discuss the essays in his latest book, Fleeing Vesuvius. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. My first guest, Judy Hurwitz, is president and CEO of Hurwitz & Associates, a strategy consulting and research firm focused on the business value of emerging computing technologies. She's also known as a no-holds-barred consultant who tells it like it is. Judith holds a BS and an MS degree from Boston University. She serves on several advisory boards of emerging companies and has started three consulting firms over the past 18 years. She's authored several books in the For Dummies series, including Cloud Computing for Dummies, Service-Oriented Architecture for Dummies, and Service Management for Dummies. Her latest book, as I said, is titled Smart or Lucky, How Technology Leaders Turn Chance into Success. Welcome to the show, Judith. How are you today?
I'm just great. How are you?
Well, I'm fantastic. Thank you for being my special guest. I appreciate it. So let's start with a topical question, shall we? Apple just announced on Monday its latest product, iCloud. It's cloud computing for its mobile devices and computers. Now, you're an expert in cloud computing, so I ask you, is it going to be iCloud or iClod? Which is it going to be, success or failure?
I think they're going to succeed with this. They are not the very first company to introduce a cloud-based offering, but I believe they got their timing right. They made the right deals with music publishers, something that their competitors like Google were not able to do. They introduced an earlier product that got their customers used to the idea of something in the cloud, and I think their timing is good to be able to offer something that is pragmatic and really meets the needs of what the customers are looking for. Right time, right place.
Well, that's a good answer, and that's what your book is all about, is about timing and being in the right place. But let me just challenge you, because Apple's not all sunshine and roses. Apple is rarely the first company to introduce a new technology, whether it's the Apple operating system that they introduced with the Macintosh, the graphical user interface, right on through to the iPod, which was just an incarnation of the Sony Walkman. Rarely are they the first to introduce something, and they have had some flops along the way, including Apple TV and some other notable flops as well. So you think the timing is right, though. That's really the critical point of your book, is about timing. It's about luck.
That's right, and you bring up very good points. I don't think you can point to a single company in any market that gets everything right every time. And one of my key points is that you don't have to be the first one into a market. It's how you execute. And I think the idea of a music player really hits the point very well, because think about it. Before Apple came up with the iPod, there were probably 15, 20 other vendors that had a similar concept. Here's the difference. It's the way Apple executed. They created a device that you plugged in, it found your music, it put it onto your device via iTunes. The user interface was intuitive. It didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out, how do I use this thing? All the other products up until that point, you had to take out the manual and figure out, how do I use this thing? How do I get my music on? One song at a time, it would be kludgy, and then you gave up. So part of it is creating that user experience that really leads people to say, this is what I want.
Well, that's Apple, the culture of cool that I like to call it. We're talking to Judith Hurwitz, author of the book, Smart or Lucky, How Technology Leaders Turn Chance into Success. And Judith, in your book, the basic thesis is that everybody in the tech space is smart, but it takes kind of a combination of several things to be successful: intuition, persistence, intelligence, teamwork, and luck. So what leads you to the conclusion that you came to?
Well, you know, I have looked at companies over, you know, many decades. I have seen companies that were the very first to market with an unbelievably exciting technology that had the potential to transform the world.
All right, give us a for instance.
The first browser company. Let's use Netscape as a browser.
Okay.
As an example, they came out with the first commercial browser. They were able to take the market by storm. They were covered everywhere. They were viewed as, you know, they could do no wrong. So they were very early. They were able at that point to sell their browser for $65 a shot, and they cornered the market. But then they got very, very arrogant. They thought that they could not only win in the browser market, but they could destroy Microsoft as a leader in desktop computing, because their browser worked everywhere, as opposed to Microsoft's technology, which only worked on the Windows operating system. So they very aggressively went out to challenge Microsoft directly. What happens is, of course, Microsoft doesn't sit still and just, you know, let this upstart take over. It comes out with its own browser. First version wasn't very good, took a little bit of time, worked on it, and then what do? They come out with a browser and said, by the way, guys, it's free. So now what you have is a situation where that company who was counting on all of this revenue from the browser, that money is now gone, and they're left holding the bag. So that's an example where they were first, right place at the right time, but they didn't plan for long-term success.
Ah, okay. Well, I've come back. We'll talk about that in more depth, because I do want to talk about the browser wars. But go on with your basic thesis here. So it's intuition, persistence, intelligence, teamwork, and luck all kind of combine to create success, as long as you don't get arrogant like Netscape did. But,
that's,
I mean, isn't Google trying to do the same thing, Judith, with Chrome? They're challenging Microsoft on its home turf, figuring that they've got a better operating system, and that operating system will work both on PCs and on mobile devices.
Well, There's a big difference between what we saw Google do and what we saw Netscape do. And I actually have a chapter that I call the Google sneak attack.
Yes.
Because actually, in terms of execution, Google did something very different than Netscape did. What Google did was they came to market, and they didn't say, we're out to challenge the home market. They said to the market, we're just a dumb old little search engine. Don't worry about us. Come play with us. You know, we're very benign. We have this nice search engine. Now, of course, other companies in the search engine business weren't so happy.
Right.
But the general marketplace looked at them and said, oh, they have a really good little search engine. So they didn't come to market challenging everyone else. What they did was they used that search engine as a beachhead, and they planned out very strategically. And, you know, they've been in business for 10 years, so they have slowly, methodically built this up over 10 years with a plan, long-term plan, to take on Microsoft in the operating system business. Now, there's obviously no guarantee that that will be success. There's nothing that is guaranteed in a very dynamic market. But they do have an opportunity, and then it comes down to execution. How well do you execute? Do you create a product that is bulletproof, that people say, I trust this, it works, it works flawlessly, and I can count on it for the future.
We're talking to Judy Hurwitz. And Judy, let's use Google as an example because it is a great story to tell. First of all, the most recent statistics that I could find is Google has 91% share of the search engine market back in 2010. Yahoo, on the other hand, which was one of the originals, is down to 3%, and Bing, which is Microsoft's entry, has a whopping 1%. Now, Google really came out of nowhere when it comes to search engine and defeated entrenched competitors like Yahoo, which I just mentioned, Netscape, which you brought up, but there was also Go, Lycos, AltaVista, Excite, MSN Search, and AOL Search, and it whomped the heck out of all of those. So give me the factors that sort of propelled Google to take this commanding lead in the search market today. How did they beat those seven or eight other competitors down?
Well, what Google did that was a little bit, first of all, they had the luck of timing. They came after companies like AltaVista, after Yahoo, after a lot of other companies. And Google itself and its search algorithms came out of some very advanced university research projects. So they had the luxury of being able to study what everyone else, all the pioneers, had done in the past. I call this standing on the shoulders of pioneers, and that's exactly what they did. So they had that luxury, and they, you know, as college students, they really took the time to figure out some new ways of attacking this whole area of searching with context, with understanding not just what a word meant, but what it meant in the context of what you were looking for. And so they really had some breakthroughs there, both in terms of how the algorithms were designed, combined with how they executed that for the commercial world. So the other thing that they did differently was to create a very compelling advertising model that was more subtle than what you saw from competitors. So if you went on Yahoo, you are blasted with advertising.
Right.
The page, the Yahoo homepage was cluttered and busy. What did Google do? They took a very different approach. Just a stark screen that said, where do you want to go today? And you clicked on it and their advertising model, which was new, was that when you said ice cream cones in San Diego, it would bring you to an ad that just happened to be about an ice cream parlor in San Diego. So and it was subtle. It was suggested links. It wasn't heavy-handed. So it didn't you know, scare people away. So they came up with a model that didn't intimidate people, that was intuitive, And it really made a difference.
It certainly did. It allowed them to capture 91% of the market. We're talking to Judith Hurwitz. Her book, Smart or Lucky, How Technology Leaders Turn Chance into Success. And if you talk about leaders, of course, you have to talk about the reverse of that as well and some of the losers. So how do stories of, say, IBM and Sun Microsystems and Digital Equipment Company, also known as DEC, how do they fit into your framework of smart or lucky, Judith?
Well, it's very interesting. If you look at the companies who failed, so if one chapter I talk about three of the really spectacular failures we've had in technology, that is Digital Equipment, Wang Laboratories, and Sun Microsystems. And all of them had something in common. They came to market at just the right time with just the right technology, and boom, they were just over a few years. They did a lot right. They were very successful. They became huge powers. But in the case of all three companies, they got so enamored with their own success and with their own growing revenue and customers that they dismissed up-and-coming startups as they can't possibly touch us, we're too big and powerful. They lost connections with what made them successful in the first place and how they were solving customer problems, and in the end they simply stopped innovating. They stopped looking out for their customers, and all three of them were either as in the case of Wang, actually went into bankruptcy. In the case of DEC and Sun, both were bought in fire sales. Now contrast that with IBM and Apple, because both of those companies actually had near-death experiences. Both companies were in really tough shape. In the case of IBM, many people thought that the company could be chopped up into pieces and sold off because, again, both companies at that time lost track of how they were working with customers, the value they were bringing to customers. They absolutely lost track of that. And then hit upon very hard times. They weren't looking into the future. They weren't looking at competitive threats. Now both companies were saved, and Apple and IBM had different approaches. Steve Jobs came back from starting another company called Next, was actually able to take the innovative technology that his team developed at Next, which then became the core of the next generation of Apple products. So bringing back somebody that understood about competitive technology, understood about innovation, and could provide that leadership saved Apple.
Well, and don't
in contrast, IBM actually had to bring in somebody from the outside that turned around the company by turning around the perspective on what's important to customers, what do they want, what can we do to make our customers successful, getting rid of things that didn't work, forcing people to get out of their comfort zone and to really focus on the future and what matters to customers.
Yeah, well, don't forget,
they executed brilliantly.
Don't forget, Judith, that $150 million investment that Steve Jobs got from Microsoft when he first came back was actually one of the big stimuluses that allowed Apple to continue on. We've been talking to Judith Hurwitz. Her book, Smart or Lucky, How Technology Leaders Can Turn Chance into Success. She is clearly an industry expert in this field. Judith, if people want to learn more about you, want to learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, I would suggest going to my book site called judithbalancingact.com, and you'll see about my book, and my blog is there. Our website is hurwitz.com, and would love to stay in touch with you guys and hope that you'll read the book and send me feedback. I'm on Twitter on Jay Hurwitz.
That is great, Judith. Thank you so much for being our special guest here on Brainstorming. We'll talk to you down the road.
It's a pleasure.